This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Here's Ryan Covey and Tommy Call.
More than anything, I want better execution. Are we clear on that?
Let's
I want
go.
Better execution.
Right, Spadoni? We got it, baby. John Gruden got in his ass during the break, and now we got the full-on rejoiner.
I love my guy Spadoni.
Ryan Covey and the bootleg Butch, Tommy Call, with you on a Saturday afternoon here on 95.7 The Game. Now 26 hours away from the NFC title game. Did the math again.
One down.
You are welcome. Yeah, we get closer and closer.
Yeah.
How do you kill time before a big game? Now, it helps. Like tonight, you got Dubs Magic, Whitey Gleason,
and
JD will be on the pregame, and then the game will be tonight. Yeah, you got UFC, Conor McGregor, and Cowboy going toe-to-toe tonight. How's the rest of that card looking? I haven't seen that.
Holly Holm is the co-main event. There's some good, like,
Preacher's Daughter fights.
It's a little – I was talking to Bobby before the show.
Bobby's bangers.
We're both big UFC fans, and he made a good point. He's like, they styled it like a boxing fight, where the fight at the top is definitely – that's the one you pay to see, and anything you get before that, you're kind of like, all right.
That's a little bonus.
Yeah, so you can watch the Dubs, and then you can go right into UFC.
That's a decent way to kill time. And then obviously during
it's an awesome sports watching weekend.
During the day tomorrow, if you're going to the game, you'll get out to Levi's, 11, noon. Mm-hmm. Get the grill fired up, get the pigskin out, start putting a few
come
back.
Come to the Hilton.
Come to the Hilton and see Bonte and Butch and everybody
I'll
out
be
there.
There.
You'll be there.
Yeah,
hell, I might even stop by.
What?
Yeah, man. So it'll be pretty turnt up in that respect.
Yeah.
But, you also have the AFC title game to lead you up to to the Niners game. So you'll at least get to wet your beak, and then the 49ers will know, who's representing the AFC in the Super Bowl at that point when you take the field on Sunday. But, of course, they can't worry about that. They can only worry about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. How are you feeling about Jed York right now and the way that, let's face it, I was talking to somebody 2 years ago after the Shanahan hire, and they had some business interests with the 49ers, and they said, where is this team at? Where are they headed? They didn't know a whole hell of a lot about football. And I said, look, if I was going to buy stock in an owner right now, I'd probably buy stock in Jed York because you can get it for pennies on the dollar. And there was reason to believe that things were going to get turned around. And I started to notice that he was understanding the errors in his ways. I mean, the Harbaugh disintegration, okay, that stuff happens. Chalk it up as a learning experience. Jim Harbaugh wears on people, right? And it was unfortunate. I said at the time when they got rid of Harbaugh, they will rue the day that they let this guy go. Not because he was beloved in the building, but because going to NFC title games is fun, right?
Yeah.
And you bring in Jim Tomsula, he's farting in press conferences. God bless him. He was just in over his skis. The Chip Kelly thing, I mean, that was just a disaster from go.
Yeah.
The roster was in bad shape. I felt like that was a cosmetic hire where it was like, no, see, we know the name Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, well, is he the right fit for this team? Oh, hell no. And you learn from your mistakes. That's life, right?
Yeah.
Jed's a young cat. And so giving Shanny a six-year deal, giving Lynch a six-year deal and saying, you know what? Let me try another way. Let me take a step back. Let the football dudes make the football decisions. To me, that's the best thing that he's ever done. And he's been conspicuous by his absence. And I think that's the way to handle it.
I completely agree with almost everything you said there. I think, as human beings, one of the better traits you can have is to be able to get better from your mistakes, right?
Right.
To realize you're doing something that's not working out and get better from that. And I think that's what Jed York has done. And it seemed to me, from watching from afar and picking up what 49ers sports talk was talking about. It wasn't what the coach said. It wasn't what the player did on the field on Sunday. It was what York said in the media or what he tweeted about or something like that. That's where the things that were making headlines. And he was able to realize hey, this is probably not good for the brand
right.
At the end of the day. I need to step back and let, these football decision makers do their thing. I need to step out of the limelight, and I need to blow it up a little bit. I need to get John Lynch in here, kind of a guy that when John Lynch was hired, let's all be honest, did we really expect that coming? Did we you're like, John Lynch?
I asked myself, like, I was doing a show the night that he got hired, and I said, is there another John Lynch in the NFL that I don't know about?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, wait, that John Lynch?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
We all knew who John Lynch was, but it was shocking.
And so for sometimes it takes that type of shock move to reset the balance. And you remember when Kyle Shanahan got hired, they had that press conference where it looks like they had like 15 people up on the stage, you know, Pierre Garçon, all these new players that were coming in to kind of really, it was like, no, we're not going to patch things up and try and continue from this Harbaugh era of players. We're going to really reset things and figure it out from the bottom up. And I'm going to let Kyle Shanahan draft his guys, even if they are mistakes like CJ Beathard or Joe Williams or players like that. And I'm going to stay out of it. I'm not going to be upset about it. I'm going to let them do their thing. And there's so many owners across all sports, Covey. I mean, think about like Dan Snyder, right? They have a guy, Ron Rivera, who's a pretty successful NFL coach who, by a lot of standards, seems like a good leader of men. But the reason that that hire's questionable, it's not because of the coach. It's because of the guy in charge there. It's because of Dan Snyder. Is Joe Burrow going to work out in Cincinnati? It's not necessarily because of the talent around him, Joe Mixon. They have a lot of skill players. We're not worried about Joe Burrow. You're worried about the owner and if they can make those right decisions. For with the 49ers, you're not really worrying about that now.
Right.
That's way distant memory.
Right. Well, and I mean, we love to use the word culture, right? Mm. The change of culture. And, you know, we were just talking to Mark about this. Like, yeah, winning breeds culture, but to turn around all that momentum going in the opposite direction, there was just a dark cloud over this team for, you know, several years. And I mean, if you think about it, it was when you brought in Kyle Shanahan, it was your fourth head coach in 4 years.
Yeah.
You go Harbaugh, you go Tom Sula, you go Kelly. I mean, you know, they signed Tom Sula to a multi-year deal. Kelly got a multi-year deal. So Jed York's eating all this money. Now, spoiler alert, they have the money, so they're going to be okay. But, you know, that's not sustainable. You know, even if you have the deepest pockets in the world, it's not sustainable when you're looking at what the ultimate goal is, which is to win. Now, I applaud him for being quick to realize, oh, damn, this isn't going to work. We're not going to run it back. You know, it's like I assimilate it to like the Chicago Bears trying to fool themselves into thinking, no, we can make it work with Trubisky. It's like, no, just admit the mistake, pull the plug. And because the sooner you can move on from it, the sooner you can begin to maybe find the solution. Mm. You have to be real that you have to acknowledge that there's a problem before you can get real about what the solution is and to become solution oriented. And I think at least Jed realized after Chip Kelly, damn, like this ain't going to work either. Either we need to get somebody in here, a young, bright football mind. I need to give him a level of autonomy. And let's face it, everything that's happened subsequently since the hire of Kyle Shanahan had to give his blessing to.
Yes.
He handpicked John Lynch. And make no mistake about it, John Lynch has input on personnel. I mean, he just won Pro Football Writer Association Executive of the Year. And great for him, well-deserved. He's done a terrific job. But really, it's Shanny. The buck stops with Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan was given essentially full control of the roster, full control of the personnel, and he decides what goes on. And John Lynch has his ear, and there's a collaborative there, and that's great. But you have to have that true pecking order. And the last thing you need when you've got a franchise that's been headed in the wrong direction for multiple years, it's basically a disaster. You got Levi Stadium where people paid all this money for PSLs. Yeah. The stadium is half empty, and you know the opposing fans fill it up, and you go there. And, you know, the second half of games, the place is, you know, damn near emptied out. And, you know, you got to ask yourself, like, Jed, like, do you really think you should be this involved in the day-to-day operations of this football team? No. You're the rich billionaire kid. Nobody's faulting you for that. But it's like the Rockies say, know your role, right?
Yeah.
And he finally understood his role.
KYP.
Yeah. And let Kyle Shanahan do his thing. And I think it's a credit to Jed for sitting back and, hey, guess what? Now you get to reap the benefits because Jimmy Garoppolo jerseys are flying off the shelf, right?
Bosa.
Bosa jerseys are flying off the shelf. I mean, everything's good right now. Business is booming, and it's because you were willing to change your approach and take a step back and realize maybe I'm not as smart as I think I am.
Yeah, and something to unpack there, too, is think about like last year during this time, what we were talking about. Like, is Kyle Shanahan potentially on the hot seat? I understand that kind of sounds crazy to talk
it's
about
crazy.
Now.
That's crazy.
But last year, that was something that you could, if he got fired, right, because of the season that they had, we've seen worse across the NFL. It probably wasn't deserving in any way at all, but it was something that was discussed.
The only thing that I thought that was a total non-starter for me was all the events that led to Kyle Shanahan being brought in, the one and dones, the fact that he was the fourth head coach in 4 years. Like, to me, if they would have been so short-sighted after Jimmy Garoppolo tore his ACL game three of the season to think that moving on from Kyle Shanahan was in the best interest of this franchise, if I'm a Niner fan at that point, I'm tapping out. Like, I'm done.
The thing is it's to an extent believable that we see stuff like that happen in the NFL almost all the time, where people get let go or people get held on to for too long for the right reasons. It's just the business of the NFL. And Jed York had the ability to kind of say, no, we're going to hold on. We're going to keep, we're not going to pressure Kyle Shanahan to fire Robert Saleh, right? Like, no one from this staff was really let go. They brought in some veterans. You have to have, I think, a little bit of perspective, and you have to have patience is the big thing when it comes to being an owner. And I think there's a really good text here from the 209, whereas it was just in front of me, where they're saying that Uncle Eddie had to get in his ear. There's no way he built this. He got advice, no question. The ability to take advice and use it from these guys that are at such high positions in their career and everyday life is an attribute of its own. Right. How many of these guys, like if Dan Snyder and some of these owners that we're talking about took advice from people who have been there and done it before, what their career would look like? These guys have massive egos and big pockets. Sometimes it's hard to give those type of people advice because they easily just go, no, I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to figure this thing out. At least Jed York was able to, if that is true, able to know, to understand that advice and put it to good use.
This is from the 510 on the Chilton Autobody text line. I always thought of Jed York as an untrained, useful idiot for Balky. Balky was the problem. Jed has grown up quite a bit. He's doing what he should do, finally. And
you
I think
gotta Google it.
I think that's where most 49ers fans are at. Like, it's easy to embrace the owner when the team's winning. That's all fans care about. Give me a winner. Look, this, especially here in the Bay Area, if the cost of living out here is ridiculous, if we're going to pack the kids in the car, we're going to get on StubHub, or we're going to, God forbid, buy a PSL and try and be a season ticket holder, we're talking about, thousands of dollars of commitment. Little Tommy wants a Jimmy G jersey, right? We got to get him one of those for Christmas, and we got to make sure everybody's styled out and get the grill and pay $70 for parking and go to the game. I mean, that is a massive commitment of time, effort, energy, resources. And you're not going to do any of those things if you don't believe in what the organization is doing. And I know a lot of 49ers fans, especially like here in San Francisco, felt a little disenfranchised when their team moved from Candlestick Point all the way down to Santa Clara. I mean, my partner, Butcher Boy, San Francisco native, he's not thrilled about the fact that he's got to drive an hour plus on game day just to go see the San Francisco 49ers play a football game. But, that's sometimes you have to make some sacrifices along the way. And if they ever wanted to get a stadium built, that's how it had to go. And, I think for how long we heard, Levi Stadium sucks. No, the reason Levi Stadium sucked is the team sucked. Like, you put a winner there, all of a sudden, hey, Levi Stadium's looking pretty good, right? Team's playing an NFC title game tomorrow. Hey, maybe Jed York's not so bad after all. It's just human nature.
You were at the game last week. What'd you think?
I thought the vibe was great. And I was fortunate enough to be hanging out in a luxury box, so I was up above like the lower bowl, right? So I had a really nice view of like the fan interaction, right? Okay. And because I'm at the basically it's at the top of the lower bowl, right? Okay. And so the whole lower bowl's in front of me, and I'm looking at all the different jerseys, a lot of Jimmys, a lot of Boses. The fans were great. I mean, it was like an old school vibe because I'd been to plenty of Niners games at Candlestick over the years. I'd seen them win some big games, and it was had been missing for a long time. And let's face it, 49ers fans, like growing up in the 80s, watching this team dominate, like there's a sense of reverence for 49ers fans. And for many years, that was lost. I mean, being in the NFC title game, that was, a rite of passage. That was birthright for 49ers fans.
Yeah.
They consider themselves, old school Niner fans consider this still one of the preeminent franchises in the NFL. I mean, you got five Lombardi trophies on the shelf, for God's sake. So to lose that for this kind of franchise was even a tougher pill to swallow than, like, if you were like a Bengals fan or something, right? I mean, a lot of these old school Niner fans had tasted success. So it was nice to be able to see that again, to see, important football games being played here in the Bay Area, which, as a guy covering sports for a living here in the Bay, that's all I want to see. Give me meaningful football.
It was electric out there.
It was.
I could just feel that tension in the air. You know, Mark Ibanez, who we just had on, was talking about, you know, the ability to kind of like taste that feeling, that sense of a winner, you know. That feeling out on the field before the game, I mean, it was just a who's who. I think you saw, like, Jerry Rice was out there. Barry Bonds was out there. Joe Montana was out there. Just legends across the Bay.
It was all victory here lap for this, Sunday.
Yeah, all here for the game. Saturday. I mean, there was, like, McLovin from Superbad was there. That was the I was starstruck by that. Yeah,
that's a big, great group of guys.
Yeah. I told her what time it was. Everything. He was all there. I mean, it was – you could just feel that. The stars were coming out is what I'm getting at with, you know, with McLovin in the building.
676 or 678, excuse me, on the Chilton Auto Body text line points out, where the hell is that? Bay Area fans are just front runners. Aren't all fans front runners to some degree? I mean, like the notion of the bandwagon fan bugs the crap out of me. Why do you care what the next man's doing? If your team has bandwagon fans, guess what? That means you're good.
Yeah. And if you want to embrace that. Yeah. Come on, let's go. Like, you know?
So many Warriors fans who I love and respect, they rode with that team when they sucked.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the team has all this success, go to 5 finals, win 3 of them. And I talked to so many Warriors fans who are like, man, it sucks, man. Everybody's got a Dubs jersey on now. Like, everybody's a Warriors fan. You know, and the guys would call, man, I've been a fan since We Believe, bro. It's like, stop. I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, your fan resume, how many times we got callers calling, I've been a fan since 1973. It's like, that's great. But the reality is, it's individual for everybody. And if you have those fair weather fans, whatever, bandwagon fans, that means your team's winning. Yeah. It's okay. If you want to stick with your fan, with your team when they suck, I mean, look at the Giants right now. They could barely get 20,000 people in that stadium right now.
Yeah.
Because they stink. And that's okay because people work hard for their money.
And it comes down to it, I think, at the same time, that if you want a crowd factor in the game, right, you need a couple of those bandwagon fans in the building. I'm sorry, with the way, you know, playoff pricing goes and everything like that, diehards aren't able to fill that building. You're going to need some just randoms to show up. That's just how it is when you're playing at this level of a game. And it's a factor, right? If you just have... It's just part of the game. It just is what it is. And I think the closer you are to sports and the more winning franchises you're around, you just kind of grow to know that that's just part of it. Right. It's just part of, like, it comes and goes. You know, that's what a bandwagon fan is. It's part of sports. And when you're winning, I think you just got to embrace that a little bit.
Yeah, you're hot on the streets. I mean, that's it. You're relevant. That should be applauded. That's great news. You begin to transition from, you know, a hardcore niche audience to... You know, everybody's in on it. It's the place to be. It's the hot ticket in town. That's what any owner would aspire for, and that's what any fan base should aspire for.
And I think this person from the 678 is kind of referencing to an extent is that the Giants were good, and the Warriors were good, and now the 49ers are on the step of, you know, they're playing in the NFC Championship. There's been a lot of successful teams across all different sports in the Bay Area. There's thousands of people, millions of people listening right now who are 49er fans, Giants fans, and Warriors fans. They've had a pretty, you know, they've been pretty spoiled of late, so it's easy to look at them and say, you're just a fan of your front runners. But at the same time, those franchises have just been winning at a very high level over what feels like the last 10 years.
And I guess maybe it's because I'm just too self-absorbed to care about what the next person's doing. I just, to me, the notion of like somebody else's fan resume, I just don't care. Like, that's
just part of fandom.
Right.
I mean,
because like, okay, so, you know, I'm a big San Jose Sharks fan. And, you know, San Jose Sharks, like, the people that love the Sharks really love them, right?
Yeah.
And then, but there's, you know, for a lot of the Bay Area, like, wake me up in the playoffs, and that's cool, whatever. Let me put you like this. I've taken a lot of people to their first ever Sharks game, right?
Okay.
And I love that. It's just like if you love a band that's, you know, not really popular, right? You know, kind of an underground band.
I listen to their mixtape.
Right, yeah. And then all of a sudden they go big. You should be happy for them, right? I mean, that's, you know, a band that you support. Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. That's what you're in this for, to have that level of success. And, you know, whether a fan's, you know, been down with a team for, you know, 50 years or 50 minutes, it don't make me none. What do I care?
Yeah, and there's an interesting point from the 408 saying that it's not that you have a problem with, you know, the bandwagon fans, that they're fans, it's that they're driving the price up. I think that's an interesting point. But at the same time, is it the bandwagon fans driving the price up, or is it just the talent on the field?
Capitalism, my man. Yeah. Free market economy. Like, this America. NFL owners.
I feel that. Being priced out is horrible.
Okay,
like, I understand where he's coming from. It sucks.
Okay.
But it's just, I think it's just part of the nature of the biz.
Right. owners don't own franchises not to make money. That's the name of the game. If you can't afford it, you just can't go. I'm sorry. Like, because something's worth what somebody's willing to pay for it, okay? Look, I can't go on a trip around the world. You know what I'd love to do? I just got engaged, Tom. You know what I'd love to do?
What?
I'd love for my girl and I to go travel the world for the next 2 years and go live on beaches and travel all over and see every nook and cranny of this great planet Earth. You know why we can't do it? Because we can't afford it, right? Because I got to work for a living. Nice things cost money, and that's just how it goes.
I'm not going to be here.
Right? Exactly. So, okay, they price hardcore fans out.
Yeah.
All right. That's how it goes.
It just sucks. It sucks.
Okay.
It's part of the business.
And,
you know,
that's a subjective term anyway. Yeah. A hardcore fan. Like, well, you know, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, that's how it goes. And look, in the Bay Area, everything costs an arm and a freaking leg. And we all got flat screen TVs at the crib. Maybe you can't go to 25 Dubs games a year or 6 Niners games a year. Save up your scratch. Pick a nice game that you want to go to and go to one game a year then.
Yeah.
Like, good thing, nice things cost money. And the bottom line is, at the end of the day, Tommy, something's worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. Let's go to Sparky real quick. Go ahead, Sparky.
Sparky.
Is this Clark Griswold?
Gentlemen. Gentlemen, I appreciate you taking my call.
Yep.
To going back to what you're saying right now, that everything costs an arm and a leg, and it's true, but you know what? You just gave one of the samples that I do. First of all, let me start by I don't have a football team, and the reason why I never have a football team is because I don't know enough about any team, so
okay.
I don't get into your conversation. I just decide not to have a football team. But going based on what you are saying, I do that with the Warriors and the A's. Obviously, I'm a Warriors fan. But I get my nice money for one really nice game. It was a tradition when they were in Oakland. Every Christmas year, I go to the Christmas year and I get my jersey, you know, and that's my birthday present. And it's almost better when you can afford it and have the luxury and you can have it, you know. And I did it. It was nice. It's a nice experience. Terrific show. I'm on the road right now and it feels like I'm back at home just listening to you guys explaining and breaking it down. It just
Ronald Sparky.
Like I'm home right now.
Appreciate it, baby. Well, safe travels out there.
Sparky.
And thanks for checking in. Respect.
Wonder what jersey he's rocking for his birthday this year.
Let's go.
Eric Paschal?
I mean, you know, get you a Jordan Poole jersey, right? Come on,
playing
man.
Well,
yeah,
late.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's on the uptick. I've been hard on Jordan, but I know he's been throwing a lot at him that is kind of...
he's a competitor.
He is, and it's just asking a little too much of him. 954, Covey is part of the wine and cheese crowd that hangs in the suite instead of the blue-collar fans in the nosebleeds.
Right.
Player... Like, you couldn't miss the mark more with that. Like,
just for the audience to explain, Covey is actually wearing a suit next to me. It's actually a tuxedo.
Yeah,
and he's sipping a glass of wine as we speak at this moment.
I got a nice silver
oak.
He's got a monocle.
Yeah, I got a nice silver oak Cabernet right now, a little 04. Oh, smell those chewy tannins.
I don't even know what those mean.
You can't miss me with that. All right, let's see. 650, fans mad they can't afford to watch playoff games at Levi's. Couldn't give away free tickets a couple years ago. That's the price of success.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's how, like, the Golden State Warriors, how bad were they for how many years playing at Oracle? With all due respect to Oracle, this isn't a knock on the city of Oakland. That place is falling apart, okay? And you got an owner that would pull that franchise up by its bootstraps and build a beautiful facility here in downtown San Francisco. And as soon as they get their full complement of players back, we're going to be talking about Chase Center as, you know, what a beautiful arena and what a special experience this is. But let me go back to this one text from, let's see, 415. Can't afford tickets, but grateful I can watch it on my 70-inch 4K TV. See,
it's that's not, a flex.
Just because you can't go to the game doesn't mean you can't watch the game.
Yeah.
Right?
It's just what we're talking about here. It's just part of fandom. It's why who we are. I mean, a lot of the people texting in right now are those same people that are screaming at their TVs like you and I and really getting after it, watching these games, a fan. Those are the things, like, that's why it's like, you know, what really is a hardcore fan? Those are the things you take pride in being at this level. And you want to see your teams being in this situation. And I think it's just a nature. It's a part of the business. And I think, honestly, if you are a fan of a team like the 49ers who have done this before, it's just kind of expected.
Yeah,
it is what it is. And it's a bummer.
Covey and the wine and cheese crowd. Get out of
here. I mean,
it's
about right.
Yeah, exactly. You know me. All right. Oh, wow. Sam, they're breaking me. All right. Coming up on the other side, Kyle Madsen, our very own, is going to join us. Yeah, thank you, 4A. Covey is as broke as the rest of us. Leave him alone. Appreciate
working
you,
on
Big
the weekend,
Mac.
Baby.
Yeah, exactly. I'm here with Tommy Cole on a Saturday afternoon, for God's
like
sake.
Like usual.
All right. We'll be back.
Now back to
to 95.7 The Game. Here's Ryan Covey and Tommy Call.
Wow. That's two hits in a row, Spadone. Technical producer.
Who's that guy?
Joseph Spadoni. All right. We are now 25 and a half hours away from the NFC
title game
as we tick-tock, getting a little closer.
You watch The Watchmen? That's what that reminds me of. They always say that. And I'm like three episodes into the new Watchmen on HBO. It's a pretty good show.
Man, I've been getting down with the Aaron Hernandez Netflix documentary. I got about an episode and a half in last night before I passed out.
Worth it? Recommendation?
Oh, powerful.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like a tragic tale across the board.
I would love to know if on the text line, I'm catching a flight Monday, flying to Alabama for the Senior Bowl. I have a long travel day because it just was tough getting a flight after, I couldn't book it until after knowing the 49ers were going to, be in the championship. So if you have a Netflix recommendation, let me know because I'm going to be in the airport for like 15 hours.
And, that's what, no.
Yeah. No recommendations?
I
got shut down.
What is that, that one on Netflix? I or me? What the hell is it called? That's it. Sorry. I knew it was a one-namer. You. Yeah. Exactly. Sorry. Somebody out there's like, this moron, it's you. All right. Joining us now on the line from Niners Wire and, of course, our very own 95.7 The Game, Kyle Madsen. Hey, Kyle, let's start here. 49ers playing at home, 7.5-point favorite. Any fear of this team taking the Packers too lightly for you?
No, I don't think so. They've talked about it a lot this week. Players, coaches, Kyle Shanahan's mentioned it, I think, in every press conference he's done this week, how that first Packers game really just got away from Green Bay early. Like you guys know, there was the ticky-tack penalty on Devontae Adams, the personal foul on their first drive that negated a first down and then put them way behind the sticks. They get the sack. And the fumble on the third down, the Niners recover at the two. They score one play later, and it was just kind of downhill from there. I'm guessing they're going to focus a lot this week on things they didn't do well against Green Bay the first time, things they didn't do well against Minnesota, even though they kind of rolled in that game, and just try to keep them from, like you said, taking them lightly and thinking they can roll these guys. And if you're going into an NFC championship game and you're not dialed in and focused, what are you playing for? I think they're going to be fine in that respect.
Kyle, I'm interested to know how much stock are you, you just brought it up and referenced it there, but you just put like, how much stock are you putting into that pass game? I've been kind of sitting here talking with Covey over the last, hour or two saying that if I'm a 49er fan heading into this game, I kind of blip that first matchup out of my memory if I could, because so much had to go right for the 49ers in that game. And so many things went wrong for the Packers as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Niners are better than the Packers, but I don't think they're 29 points better than them. You just said it. There were a couple of plays that didn't go the Packers' way. There was a pass breakup by Jimmy Ward down the sideline. I think it was on Jimmy Graham. Might have been Devontae Adams. I can't remember. But like, if that ball gets caught, all of a sudden the Packers are deep in Niners territory, and instead they're punting. So it's just little things like that that went the Niners' way. That game did indicate to me that the 49ers are a better team than the Packers, especially considering that Joe Staley didn't play. Quan Alexander wasn't playing. Dee Ford wasn't playing. So I think the Niners personnel-wise are better than Green Bay on paper, but I don't think that it's going to be a walk in the park like Week 12 was.
We were talking a little bit about Jed York, Kyle, and he's been conspicuous with his absence. I think, maybe learning from previous transgressions. Just generally, do you feel like Jed maybe learned from his past errors? Obviously, the Harbaugh debacle and then the one and dones with Tom Sula and Chip Kelly. You know, it was time to try something new, and I feel like Jed has learned less is more. Let the football guys make the football decisions. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, absolutely. When in 2014, kind of at the peak of the Harbaugh-Balky conflict and the Harbaugh-York conflict, and the next year with hiring Tom Sula, it just felt like York was way too present in all that. And I understand the owner has to come out and say something, and that's fine, but it just felt like we were hearing from him way too much. And at the time, it was like, why doesn't this guy just take a step back, hire some people, and let him rock? And I think that's what he did in 2017, because I do think he learned. And I think he hired a couple of really smart football people in Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and just took a step back and said, okay, here's some six-year deals. Go make it happen. Because you're not going to turn a bad football team around really overnight. I know the Niners went from 4-12 to 13-3, but they weren't a bad team last year personnel-wise. And I think York realized that it was going to take a few years to accumulate talent and get back to a Super Bowl caliber club. And he's done, for me, a really nice job of kind of staying out of the spotlight and tweeting a congratulations here and there and just kind of letting John Lynch in the front office and Kyle Shanahan do their thing.
You brought up some of the guys that the 49ers didn't have in the last matchup against the Packers. And, you know, to play devil's advocate to that, the Packers were also down some guys, specifically Alex Light. And I think I was sitting right next to you during that game, and I vividly remember just Nick Bosa absolutely mauling him up and down the field, it seemed like, and just an onslaught from the 49ers defensive line in that game. They're going to have Brian Bulaga healthy, it looks like, for, you know, tomorrow. How much of a factor is that? Do you think the defensive line specifically can kind of recreate what they did, or with, you know, a fully healthy Green Bay offensive line, is that kind of an X factor in this thing?
Yeah, I think it could be, and I would buy into that a lot more if Dee Ford wasn't playing, because I think when Dee Ford can line up opposite Nick Bosa, or we saw him a couple times last week against Minnesota line up on the same side as Nick Bosa, and that just creates havoc for everybody. So I think if Ford is there, I understand that Brian Bulaga on the right side is an excellent tackle, and David Bakhtiari on the left side is one of the two or three best guys at that position in the league. But even Bakhtiari had a little bit of trouble with Bosa in that game. And we saw Bosa push around some really good left tackles this year, like Alejandro Villanueva in Pittsburgh. He just kind of bull rushed him a few times. And, like, that's not something that happens to really good players that often. Like, Nick Bosa is already elite, and I'm not sure it's going to matter much who lines up across from him. But I don't think the Niners, to that point, are going to sack Aaron Rodgers six times.
Talking to Kyle. Sorry, Kyle. Go ahead.
So, I do think that the offensive line will be better, but I still think that Rodgers is going to have some trouble because Dee Ford's back.
Talking to Kyle Madsen from 95.7 The Game and Niners Wire. Okay, we're looking at Green Bay's defense. Obviously, the Smith brothers are dangerous. Za'Darius been on fire. Preston Smith locked and loaded as well. Who else can be a difference maker on that Green Bay defense, and how do you think Kyle Shanahan's going to attack that D from an offensive standpoint?
That's the question I've been trying to kind of figure out all week. Like, if Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, let's just say the Niners eliminate those guys or mitigate their impact a little bit, I don't know who else on Green Bay is really going to be a major factor. Like, Jair Alexander is a good player, but Kevin King got burned a couple of times last time these two teams played. Blake Martinez, their middle linebacker, isn't going to be able to run with George Kittle. I think that they're super vulnerable in the middle of the field. And if the Niners try and go at Jair Alexander one-on-one, maybe he makes a couple of plays, but I don't think they're going to do that because I think they'll just be able to wear out the middle of that Packer defense. And I just, that's the biggest key for me is I'm having a really hard time figuring out who on Green Bay makes the play. Like, when you look at Minnesota, you have Danielle Hunter and Everson Griffin and Harrison Smith is lurking back there and Eric Kendrick, who's an all-pro at linebacker. I don't see that with the Packers, and I'm not exactly sure. Like, Kenny Clark, their defensive tackle, is a good player, but I don't think in the back end they really have anybody that is going to be able to be a difference maker, and I think Kyle Shanahan is going to wear a lot of those guys out.
So to that end, would you expect this to be a big Jimmy Garoppolo game, or do you think, you know, I know Kyle loves to use that pre-snap motion and exploit the middle of the field. I thought he did that marvelously against Minnesota. Would you expect more of that this Sunday then?
Yeah, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to throw 19 times again, six times in the second half. And it feels like Shanahan, I don't know how you guys feel, but it feels like to me Kyle Shanahan is super aware of, like, the narratives and stuff. And like Kyle Juszczyk recovered against the Falcons, recovered the muff punt, and then they ran it to him one time and then threw a pass to him like they were going to get him in the end zone. And I feel like this is one of those things where Shanahan might come out and go, all right, Garoppolo is going to throw 15 times in the first half, and we've dialed up all these plays that are going to work just to show you guys, like, hey, he can win us a game throwing the ball. That So I wouldn't be surprised if they come out. If they can run it 47 times again and win, I think they will. But I don't think they can, and I think, therefore, we'll see a lot more Garoppolo. I think he's so money in the middle of the field, and like I just mentioned, I just don't see how the Packers slow him down in that area.
Yeah, that was a similar question I was going to ask you next, like kind of the game plan side of for Kyle Shanahan. But to flip to the other side of the field, you know, since these guys are back, like Dee Ford and Quan Alexander and things like that, Robert Saleh is a guy that you look to, and he kind of might have a little bit of extra, I don't want to call it like a revenge game. We love to put that label on things, but the fact he didn't get hired, all his focus is now back with the 49ers. What do you kind of see him doing on the defensive side of the football to really go after Aaron Rodgers, just because I don't necessarily buy the fact he's going to throw for only 105 yards again?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen either. If that's the over-under, I'm going over.
That's a stiff bet, baby. Way to put the balls on the table.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. Yeah. Big money maker there. Yep. Over 105 passing yards for Aaron Rodgers.
Lock it in.
Where do you get that on the book? Is that the Kyle Madsen betsdimes.com?
The site that my friend uses, you can actually customize player props.
Wow.
So I might see what kind of odds I can get on Aaron Rodgers over 105 yards. He can get on that. Anyways,
Robert Saleh.
I think the Packers are going to come out and really they had some success with some motions last time they played the Niners and just getting the ball out quick to the flat, getting the ball in the hands of a guy like Devontae Adams and letting him just go make a play. I think we're going to see a lot of that. And so I'm interested to see what Saleh does in terms of defending that, because the Niners haven't been great at it this year when they get stretched horizontally. So I don't think we'll see like a lot of blitzing. I think they're going to try and get home with four and really just make sure that Rodgers isn't able to get the ball out in like under 2 seconds to open guys in the flat.
All right.
And I think that that's the way that Green Bay is going to have to move the ball if they do.
Finish this sentence for me, Kyle. The Green Bay Packers will win the NFC title game at Levi Stadium tomorrow if
Jimmy Garoppolo throws more than 2 interceptions.
Wow. So you think it would take a interception hat trick from Jimmy Garoppolo in order to derail this 49ers train?
Or has more than 2 turnovers, let's
okay.
say. Because I think the Za'Darius Smith strip sack is something that could happen. I don't know how the Packers, if they just line up mano a mano and play them the way Minnesota did, like the Minnesota didn't play a horrible game, they just got beat. If the 49ers aren't beating themselves, I don't know how the Packers beat them.
All right, Kyle.
The 49ers are just better.
Last question for you here. I want to know something I've been asking Covey, and I think it's interesting, and I talked to Butcher Boy about it last week. He brought it up, but you know, this is a big game for the 49ers, but from the fan perspective, what's your pregame ritual for a big game like this? Is there something that, are you tying your shoes a certain way? Are you waking up on a certain side of the bed? Are you wearing a shirt, certain undershirt? What kind of goes into the big game prep for you specifically? Do you have any rituals? Are you just the kind of guy that goes, I don't think you are. That's why I'm asking you this. I don't think you are the type of guy that says, oh, I whatever I do is not going to affect the game. I mean, if Kyle Madsen has to win the game for the 49ers with his pregame ritual, what is it?
So it's funny you say that. I'm one of the more superstitious people I know, and I used to have a game day outfit that I would wear every game, and I actually stopped that during the 2014 NFC Championship game because it's like if my outfit can't win that game, it's not going to win any game. And so I don't have a pregame thing. What I do is, like, during Warriors games, when they were in the finals, I would pick a seat. And I'm a big, like, move seats guy. Or if I'm watching a certain screen, like if I'm at a bar, if I'm watching on one screen and a bad thing's happening, I'll look at a different screen to try and, like, change the luck. So, yeah, I do have some in-game stuff that I'll do. But as far as pregame, I've got some stuff I've got to take care of around the house tomorrow, and I got some friends coming over, and we'll get set up for that. But once the game starts, you can bet that I'm ensuring that I'm doing everything I can to help the 49ers win based on my seating arrangements and food I'm eating and things I'm drinking.
Well, let's hope you don't have to dig too deep into the bag of tricks, but it's nice to know that the 49ers have that if we need it, Kyle. So on behalf of all 49ers fans, thank you.
Yeah, no, you guys are welcome. I'm trying really hard, and If you want to tip me, my Venmo is... No, I'm joking.
All right, cool. Hey, good stuff, Kyle.
We'll
thanks,
see you
brother.
Tomorrow,
enjoy
Kyle.
The game, man.
Thanks, fellas. Yeah, see you guys.
All right, good stuff from Kyle Madsen. You got a pregame routine?
I don't know. I mean, I like watching the game at home with my pops. I'm not a go out in the bar and watch it with like a group of fans type of thing. I very much like to be at home. The sound level has to be very high. I listen to games blaring. I don't know why that is. And I definitely like to have a little bit of a runway because I'm the type of person that does get up.
Yeah,
and
I
get a little emotional. You know, I sometimes my dad will give me the stare down because I will let a few explicit words fly in front of. You know, friends, family, my mother, and things like that. So that happens. And one thing that I do, and I don't know why I do it, it's something I've done since I was a little kid, is whatever team my team is playing, I will not wear their colors, whether it's socks, you know, underwear, t-shirt, belt, pants, you know, like I wouldn't wear anything red when the Golden State Warriors were playing the Toronto Raptors. I don't know. It's just a thing in my head that I feel like if I'm wearing their color, even if it's on my sock, it's kind of like I'm supporting them.
Yeah. And yeah, you don't want to do a disservice to your squad and by any means necessary, right? Yeah. You know, it's funny. I typically, as a Chicago Bear fan, they don't really play in a lot of big games anyway. But you know, when they have, and really for any playoff game, Sharks playoff games, like when the Cubs were in the World Series, I like to really be at the house, right?
Yeah.
And I like, if it's a game that matters a lot to me, I don't want a lot of people around. Mm-hmm. I sure as hell don't want people around that don't care about the outcome of the game. It's got to be like...
It's okay. It's only a game.
If you're coming over to my crib...
Don't bring that.
Like, yeah. If you're coming over to my crib, we're locked in on this game. I don't got time for the BS. If you have an issue with... You know, me yelling at my television or me marauding around my house, and this probably isn't the environment for you. And that's why I don't like to go over to other people's house because I would never presume to tell somebody else how to behave,
no doubt.
You know, in their house, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and I, you know, I don't want to come into somebody else's house acting the fool. So for big games, don't want to be in a bar. I want to be at the crib, and I want a small audience. I want to have some good food around me. I like to have a lot of caffeine.
Okay,
you know what I mean.
See, I'm a little pickier about the food. If my team is losing, I'm not the type of person to eat. I'm like, no, I can't afford to kind of celebrate and relish in this delicious food. Whether
I've
it's, you
had
know,
over
a type 40 of
pizzas.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I'm not gonna dive into 40 different pizzas because that is a yummy thing that I don't want to indulge in. Because if my team is losing, then I should be sad.
He has no pizza experience.
Yeah. No, I have plenty of pizza experience. Don't
never
get me
been
wrong.
In the pizza category. Yeah.
You know,
my mom will throw down like a spinach dip.
Yeah.
And throw that thing out there. But other than that, I'm not going to do the full meal. It either has to be pregame or after the game.
I like eating before the game, because, you know, eating is comforting, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
And it also gives me, it kills a little time, you know, before the game. Like, I got 2 hours till kickoff. All right, let's cook up a meal then.
Yeah.
Let's eat. That way we don't have to worry about it during the game. And, you know, we could do a little snacking during the game. I also, I'm not a big fan. When I was younger, I was all about, hey, let's drink, let's smoke, faded. Mm. You know, now, I mean, I might have a couple of drinks, but. You know, I sure as hell don't want to be in some angry drunk state, and I want to like be totally locked in on what's going on in the game. It was funny when the Bears played the Eagles last year, and we all remember how that jabroni Cody Parkey ruined my life that day. Had the Bears won that game, they were going to play the Rams in L.A. the next weekend, and I was going.
Yeah.
So like, my buddy lives down there. We were going to have tickets. Like, it was going to be all beautiful, and I really felt in my heart of hearts. The Bears had taken apart the Rams earlier that season, and I felt like if the Bears can just find a way to get past Philly, they can beat the Rams in L.A. I firmly believe that in my heart. And Cody Parkey, so at the game at my house, it was one of my best friends and then my parents. You know, my dad being from Chicago, he's a Bears fan. So my parents came over to my place. So it was my mom, my dad, and then one of my good friends. Maybe there was two of them over there, and we watched the game. And it was funny when Cody Parkey lined up for that kick, because that game was a, you know, kind of a roller coaster, right? And, you know, the Bears came back and blah, blah, blah. And then the Eagles tied it late, you know, on that fourth down to Golden Tate. And then when Cody Parkey lines up for that kick, I literally, I'm like locked arms with my mom. And when he kicked it, I saw it hit the first bar, and then I thought, and my mom said it went in. And then I realized it didn't, and I heard the announce, you know, I heard the play-by-play guy say, you know, he missed it, and I literally just collapsed onto the floor. You know what I mean? And it was
We suck again.
And then I just looked and I was like, hey, everybody out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, like, you know, I got somebody, I won't say his name, but somebody literally texted me. I told you, bro.
Yeah, that's the worst. Like, you got to almost turn the phone off after the game.
Somebody literally, actually, they tweeted me, I told you, bro.
Yeah.
Because they told me the Eagles are going to win.
Yeah.
Like, who does that?
Yeah, that's the worst. That's the worst type of person.
Yeah, you don't troll somebody in that. And I've never forgotten it. And to be honest, like, I actually honestly think a little less of this person now. I really do. Because that was such a, just a dickish move to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, because look, let's face it. Like, it's over now, right? The idea of, you know, win or go home, the finality of it all. And I know, look, say what you want. The 49ers, well, they've played in 14 NFC title games in their franchise history. I think they're 6-8. But they haven't, their last few haven't gone their way. I think they're 2-6 in their last eight NFC title games. And even the one, obviously they won the one to go to the Super Bowl, you know, when they beat the Falcons, you know, and they were down 17-0 in that game. But other than that, I mean, this team really has had some heartbreaking moments in the NFC title game. I mean, Kyle Williams, you know, the Richard Sherman tip to Malcolm Smith. So while it's important, you know, and exciting to be in those games, the thought of losing them is like devastating.
Yeah, I was this question was asked to me, and it was saying, hey, you should talk about it. It was one of those, you should talk about this kind of thing. But it's a good point. Would you rather get to this far in the season and lose, or just rather not have it at all?
It's the old adage. Is it better to have loved and lost, or never to have loved at all? No, have my franchise playing in meaningful games.
No doubt.
I mean,
no,
come on.
And it's funny because he looked at me like, I wouldn't want my team to make it all the way to the Super Bowl.
Stop.
And lose. Yeah, and I was like, you're crazy.
Stop.
You're absolutely out of your mind.
Because even with, like, and yes, it sucks. I mean, you know, the Bears lost to the Colts back in 06.
Rex Grossman.
Right. To have navigated that whole season and, you know, just to have the opportunity to win a Super Bowl. I mean, that's what you're in it for as a fan. What, like, well, if you're not trying to win a Super Bowl, what else are you doing?
Yeah, this is a great text from the 415. Game recognizes game, and suffering recognizes sadness.
Right?
That's the truth. I mean, there's something in being a fan that those big losses, they change you. You remember those. In my life, granted, I'm a Miami Dolphin fan, but the team I love the most is Kentucky Wildcats basketball. It's something I've loved since I was a kid. You always remember those big losses rather than those wins. There's just something about it. They just stick with you, and it makes you, honestly, and it's a corny way of, like, making this long loop. It kind of makes you into a better fan.
Oh, yeah. It galvanizes you for sure. It's like,
connects you.
I mentioned this the other night. It's like in the movie Rounders, you know, how he builds up his bankroll before he loses
it. One of my favorite movies.
Yeah, before he loses it to the KGB. He said, you know, I can't tell you how I built this bankroll, right? All the wins. You don't remember any of those. But,
me and his money.
Yeah, but all the losses. I mean, of course you can remember that with startling accuracy. That's
no doubt.
You can think about is the losses, because you care. They matter more. You expect to win. Like, when you win, that's a validation. When you lose, I mean, that's soul crushing.
No doubt.
And to know that, like, not only are you not going to the Super Bowl, but the team that just beat you is going to the Super Bowl. And or, you know, if you're in the Super Bowl, I mean, not only did the 49ers not win the game, but that means the Baltimore Ravens are celebrating a Super Bowl championship right in front of your face.
Yeah.
Like, it's, of course it's brutal, but wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah.
All right. 888-957-9570. What's the ritual tomorrow? What are you doing? If you're watching the game at the crib, are you going to a bar? Do you dare, like, venture out into the world tomorrow? What's the routine? You got a pregame meal you like getting into, superstitions-wise? I mean, I know a lot of old-school 49ers fans have been there and done that with these NFC title games. So now that we're in 2020, there's a new generation of Niner fans maybe experiencing this for the first time. What kind of wisdom are you passing down to them? We'll get into that conversation.
Plus,
I got some good sound from Richard Sherman that I want to play on the other side as well. It's Ryan Covey and Tommy Call, 95.7 The Gazang.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.